Welcome, everybody, to the one and only Talking Crystal Chimney Hatter. That's right, the real sharks, Game of Thrones. We're going to be talking about episode 5, which was called We Light the Way, I believe. Just sum this episode real quick. We saw Daemon visit his wife in the Vale. Viserys and Rhaenyra broker agreement with the Valyrians to marry Lyanor and Rhaenyra to each other. And Alicent seeks to be more of a dominant base character. We also had a wedding, which I don't know what they're going to call this one, guys. Is it the red wedding, the gold wedding, or would this be the red and green wedding, or the wedding where someone got his eyes taken out? I don't know. You tell me.
Brain matter wedding is what it should be called, bro.
Right. It was pretty brutal. I mean, that throwdown was interesting.
Yeah.
So, but I want to go, I hate to tell all the listeners, but, we're going to say it anyway. We told you so on quite a few things. I just didn't think it would happen so fast. For example, on the boat, we see in the opening, Sir Criston Cole kind of like confessing his love to Rhaenyra and like, let's run away and go across the narrow sea to Essos. And
stupidly saying that.
Right. And she spurned him.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about that, too, is I like how they finally show Rhaenyra being a little bit more ambitious. She's pretty much like, this is my right. I'm a Targaryen here. It's my right to rule.
Yeah.
It's also like a nice, in terms of, what is the word? In terms of fantasy subversions, obviously, it's like Rhaenyra is just like flat saying, like, I don't have the dreams of leaving my duties. It's like, I don't like them.
Right.
I talk shit about him, but I'm like, I'm not just gonna run away with someone to forget. Like, I'm not doing some Prince and the Pauper shit. Fuck that. It's pretty funny. Yeah. And what's great is that
some Kingsguard.
Yeah. Right. That, yeah.
And out too. It's like, well, yeah, I'm gonna marry this guy, but he's okay if I do my thing and I'll let him do his thing.
So right. It's
just like, she's basically like, just be the side guy. Why can't you just be the side piece?
Right, just be my side piece.
He's like, exactly. I'm the main piece.
Got a good thing going on here. Just let it happen.
And that's going to be the question for the audience down below on a poll here. Did he sully that white cloak? Honestly, did he sully the cloak? Did he? Yeah. Honestly, come on. I mean, it's one thing if he was sleeping with some back tavern whore and he's like, doing all that. But it's the freaking princess, and technically he's doing his duties, you know what I mean?
Literally doing the duties.
Literally, performing a service.
I'll say this, it's an interesting, and also, again, the whole thing is funny in the subversion, because, of course, there was the forest scene a few episodes earlier
With the stag.
And I think that's a good subversion, because that scene is them being alone and intimate, by each other. So you get the sense of like, oh, maybe this in other settings, this would be the setup to the tension. It's like, oh, our love and yet the duties and bow, this would be the back and forth, the conflict. But Rhaenyra is like, no, we don't need to have a conflict. I'm going to be the queen. I'm going to marry this guy. We'll just have our own thing. It's like, it's
right.
Fine. Yeah. But interestingly, like kind of in the same way that Daemon is so kind of cruel, and he's kind of a huge dick that kills his wife. He's also kind of bound by his
pastor in the head.
Sir Crispin as well, like he is arguably an honorable character, and up until this moment, pretty likable and a pretty good guy. And then of course now we have this moment where he's just driven to just like dude, like just absolute idiot, absolute violent, just do something atrocious because of his high supposed or high morality. So, once again, that sense of operating within the graves is really good. I like that.
I really enjoyed the episode too. I liked actually seeing Castle High Tide. I thought it was really interesting. I mean, I expected maybe a little bit more fantasy-ish, but I thought it was okay. I thought
it was good for what it was.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
I thought it was cool. I like again Corliss and the guy, and Corliss is just amazing. The way he carries himself in every scene, I just think he's a fantastic addition to Game of Thrones. He's definitely preceding a lot of the previous actors in the other seven seasons that have come before him. I mean, I really enjoy his character.
He's a Game of Thronesy type character for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be, I think, a fan favorite. And if for those who really do like him, he should go a long way, because Corliss is actually a pretty important character for a long time. So he's not going anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We got to see them talk about, which I thought was interesting, between Lyanna Valerian and Rhaenyra, about the succession by Corliss, when he was like, you know, who ascends the thrones? Will they be Valerians? By the way, we got Valerian shirts down below, so make sure you check those out, everybody. Make sure you support the show. Yeah, but he's like, you know, we hope that they would be Valerians. And he's like, you think my house would end just with my daughter? Right.
Yeah.
He's like, they're going to be Targaryen, man.
And then, like, gave the look like, you're going to say something else? All right, I guess that's acceptable then.
Right.
They challenge the king.
Right. Which, you know, was that disrespect, too, that he didn't show up on the doorstep, that he sent his daughter?
This whole episode has so many people demonstrating disrespect
right
to Viserys. It's insane how many people don't respect him. Like,
because I thought it was funny when she was like, he just returned from his journey and now he's hastened to, you know, get ready to see you. But when he gets in there, like, nothing's done. Like, there ain't no feast. There's no table for him to sit, no chair for him to sit down. No, he's still just sitting on his throne, like, hey,
yeah,
what's going on?
And like lazily walks up to him being like, oh, I'll bow, hey, like it just,
and it's
totally
funny,
like,
that, yeah. But Luke, you made such a good point, I really didn't catch that, but yeah, this whole episode was a ton of disrespect towards Viserys. Everyone's just like, yeah, whatever, he's a lame duck kind of guy.
I you wonder if that is now that Hightower is out of the picture, that, like, you know, the,
well, they're still there technically with Queen Alicent.
Yeah. But like Otto Hightower is not the hand.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think maybe that's a sense. It could be that like now that Otto is not there to keep things in line behind the scenes, people are a little bit more, they're a little bit more brazen in showing like deference, because, you know, as we were talking earlier in the scene where he's lamenting that, you know, he's had no great victories and but also no great losses. You know, nobody's really afraid of Viserys. No one's afraid of
right.
King. But obviously he's in power because he's kept everything nice and stable and sane. But at the same time, nobody is afraid of getting him mad. No one's afraid of what he's going to do to him. It's a people do to them.
And so interestingly enough, I wonder if it's because he doesn't ride a dragon. I'm just saying, Luke, sorry to interrupt your thought. I'm just saying, he does not ride a dragon like everybody else. Valerian was his last mount, basically, and that was the biggest dragon around. And then when it died, he just didn't find any other dragon that he wanted.
Yeah,
right.
That's out of the book.
He also likely can't ride a dragon at this
point. With one hand, with that whole becoming like a crab person now.
Yeah, he's extreme. Yeah, he's clearly very like weak and all that at this point. So.
Yeah, I enjoyed the episode. I enjoyed it a little less than the... I want to say enjoyed it a little bit more than the previous episode. I thought it was good. And it wasn't so much... Well, I don't know. I kind of find them both equally...
Yeah.
I actually want to say, and I want to steal something... Yeah, because actually I'm going to steal this from you, Steve. I liked it up until the wedding. Because the wedding seemed so, as you once said, hand-fisted, in your face with everything. Yeah. And it was so, like, you know, of course, as you were saying to Luke with the disrespect, Daemon shows up, doesn't do anything, you know, the queen comes in, he doesn't do anything. Yeah. Everyone's just walking over Viserys, and it's like, wow, who didn't see that coming? But it was so ham-fisted, too, with some of the comments, like, you know what color Hightower lights when they're calling their banners? Isn't it green? Yep.
Yeah.
It's like, and me and Steve made this point again. Why are you tripping over Game of Thrones rules? We all know damn well that House Hightower is actually part of the Reach, which is under House Tyrell. House Hightower may have some vassals, but they're not They don't have banners.
Yeah, they don't have a fleet like they're going to have their own. So it kind of didn't make any sense. I get what they meant, right?
Right.
Like, so it was cool in that sense. But like Rob was saying, it's like it doesn't make sense story and lore-wise to be like, why is she just presenting herself like, I'm ready to go to war.
To war, yeah.
And it's just, you guys are so right about that. Like, I didn't think of that either, dude. Like, Viserys is just totally getting disrespected. Everybody's interrupting him. He's just staring people down while, like, simultaneously coughing and bleeding everywhere. And
where was I? He's like, where was I? I was giving some kind of eulogy, I think. My eulogy. I mean, he really even said, too, like, when I die. And a lot of people too were like, when the king dies, and even like Otto in the first, like,
he says it, yeah.
He's like, the king's gonna die. Yeah. And he will. And you're gonna have to raise Aegon to be heir and king. Which is interesting because I guess we're gonna start to see Alicent be more of that conniving kind of role now, yeah. which is what she kind of bleeds into anyway.
And I'm really excited because that's the most interesting relationship for me right now is Rhaenyra and Alicent.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And the reason is because I love the dynamic of what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because both of them are like, both of them are still, obviously their relationship is strained. But and this was in the previous episode when Otto Hightower kind of laid it out to Alicent. You know, it's like, if Rhaenyra gets into power, you're a threat to her. It doesn't matter what she thinks about you personally. It doesn't matter what you think about her personally. You are a threat to her. You're a threat to her. Yeah. You have to, like, you're either going to have to beg for your life or you're going to have to get on the throne yourself. And it's a wonderful because it, because, of course, one of those famous lines of the original series was, if you play the Game of Thrones, you win or die. Like, when you play the Game of Thrones. And it's crazy and also, like, very tragic because both Rhaenyra and Alicent, neither of them chose the Game of Thrones.
Right.
To a certain, obviously, whatever they feel about it or whatever they're feeding into it, they got into this because of their family. They are doing this, and now it's like they are stuck in a system where they are going to have to kill each other, regardless of their feelings about themselves, regardless about the power that they have, because no matter how much power either of them wield, they're not stronger than the system. They're not stronger than...
That's so true, Luke. They're not stronger than the wheel, which is what not even Danny could break. Remember that whole speech of like, I'm not going to remake the wheel. I'm going to break the wheel. And Tyrion's like, many people have tried better than
you. Yeah, the cycle. And of course, that's one of the big themes of the whole series, the whole world. It's like, it doesn't matter what your individual will is. This is a thousands and thousands of year old cycle of political violence.
That just doesn't stop. And
violent culture. It's like, you're not going to change it by yourself. And you especially won't change it by continuing it. So, yeah.
I think it's kind of interesting, though. It seems like they both want to in a way, but then don't want to. Like Rhaenyra going like, yeah, you know, hey, we had an arrangement, so we're not going to just like be there like king and queen. Like he'll do his own thing, I'll do my own thing. Like they're trying to do that, but you're still following the like roots of this is by queen by duty. Alicent marrying Viserys and having Aegon by duty. And like every scene, guys, like every scene where the baby is crying, by the way, the baby is never not crying. Aegon is always crying. And she's always just like,
well, I think that's just all the kids.
Yeah.
I think that's
right.
She's like a breeding sow. She has to have at least two because Aemon One Eye, he's almost as old as Aegon. So he has to be around at this point.
Has to. Well, this is the last episode of the young actor. The next after this, we're gonna get older Rhaenyra, older Alicent. So that's kind of sad.
Story begins.
Yeah.
I know. I really enjoyed this cast so far. I'm sure they'll still be around and use them as in other things. Yeah. We got to see Maylies for a split second, which I was a little disappointed. And for those who don't know who Maylies is, that's Princess Rhaenys' dragon, the queen that never was. That's her dragon. Said to be one of the biggest, and it wasn't very big. No, it was almost just a little bit bigger than Sea Smoke. So I was a little bit disappointed because it seems like, and I'm just saying, only Daemon's dragon seems unique. Which the other one that's unique too is Aegon's, but then also too we're supposed to have Vhagar come back at some point too. Which all these dragons are supposed to be kind of more unique, you know, bigger, crazier. Like Vhagar is supposed to be huge.
He's supposed to be like a mountain-sized moving dragon type.
Right.
Man, I mean, supposed to be a giant.
Like it just can eat some of the other dragons and just almost whole, like by like you know 4 times their size is what they say. So I am excited to see them get to the war because all this tension is going on. But one thing the wedding was just a little bit boring. I'm sorry. It just really was. The dancing scenes were kind of lame. I just didn't really care for too much. No, I mean, I thought everything else in between was good. Even Damon's dialogue between him and House Royce when he's like, hey, you know, she was my cousin. He's like, oh, well, you know, we didn't have kids. So now I own House Royce and all this stuff. And it was like, damn, you're really trying to make him a dick. Yeah. And it's working because it's like, Damon's becoming less and less likable. But he's just, I don't know. I always took him more in the book as a Han Solo based character. In the show, he's more of like, I don't even know what kind of other character to describe him. Just more of a scummy kind of character.
He's like a little finger hybrid with like, I don't even know, like a Bolt type of deal where it's like Bruce Bolton mixed with Littlefinger or something. He's just playing the game, but just like in a weird, I don't even know what you would call it, Rob. It's so kind of far from the book of how he is. He's just there trying to see his angle. You know?
Well, he's still Damon. Like showing up to the wedding, that was Damon. That's definitely a Damon move. Just showing up, popping in and just being like, yep, I'm here. What's up? You know, I'm part of the family. And he's like, and Viserys like, okay.
Yeah,
that part was interesting. Yeah, he was just like, all right. And he even was like, get him a chair, you know? He was like, what the hell you guys doing? Get the guy a chair, you know? So I thought it was an overall okay episode. You know, we also had the dialogue between, what I guess that's Sir Otto's old spy and Alicent, which is not in the book. That guy's not even in the book at all. Which I thought was an odd kind of forced scene when he's talking about how the flowers and these flowers bloom in Braavos and they're not really supposed to be here in Westeros and it's the day the king died because Sir Otto was gone. And it was kind of a forced scene. I felt like not really necessary, but I also felt like the wedding was also kind of forced as well. There was a lot of unnecessary stuff in that too.
So much stuff that they were trying to get, I think, is like why it felt so forced. They wanted people to know why she was wearing green. They were really pressing the whole thing with Crispin Cole, like totally being like scowling off in the corner. Like if he was the King's Guard and he's supposed, that's what I didn't like, dude. I didn't like that he was like visibly upset. Like I felt, like he's just acting like a little kid. I'm like, Crispin Cole in the book is supposed to be this like very militant, like he's, guy. Yes. I feel like if he's going to be upset about Rhaenyra, he's not going to just be doing what Rob is doing, just scolding in the corner. She said no to me, like, kind of thing. And it's like,
what? And that scene of him killing the other guy because they knew each other's secret, I don't know. It was weird. I guess, it was for the audience, and you, my audience, not like you're stupid because you know this, you listen to Real Sharks, was a way to make you kind of turn against Crispin Cole when honestly you should just let it play off of the fact that you should split it between Rhaenyra and himself because you didn't have to go all out to make him a villain in that sense. Like, oh, I lost my mind, so I have to gouge this guy's eyes out because he knows my secret. I mean, it does correlate with his conversation about this cloak is the only thing I have, and if anyone finds out what I did, it's over. Again, did he sully that cloak? Yes or no, vote. I just thought it was kind of a silly forced scene. And, someone, I wish Viserys would have got up in the middle of that table and just been like, wow, What a buzzkill, everybody, right? Jesus. Like, at least give him a moment of, like, you know, oh, everyone disrespects him, but he is funny. That's why we keep him around. You know, something stupid. And I'm just kidding my audience.
Like, I don't know.
Seriously. Like, he should have been like,
that was a weird.
What a dragon biter, something.
Because doesn't he just, like, take a pause and then, like, looks at him and then he gets up? Like, he just, like, threw up. He's like, I'll leave now or something. And they just, he just leaves. It's like, what happened?
Yeah. For me, it's like, it's very clear. So, like, it's very clear Crispin lives in a very, like, gives a very high expectation of his honor. And so when he was trying to speak to Rhaenyra about that, it's like, he wants to run away with her because at this point he feels like he can't live with himself because of this worldview. And I think clearly it's a sense of, like, Crispin is clearly an emotionally fragile human who had too much of his worldview broken too quickly to do anything. And so then he fucking beats a dude's head. That was kind of a crazy... That was like... I'll say that was when that happened, it was like really unsettling because it's filmed the way you would feel a fight when happening in a group where it's like normal.
You're like, come back.
You just feel like a couple shouts, and there's this brief moment where you're like, is something going on over there? And like, because it's too big, the room is too big, nobody else immediately cottons to it. Yeah, exactly. People are just like still going on, and then it gets to the point where you're like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, like, Rhaenyra was getting pushed down, like, people were getting like, and she was just looking like, oh, shit, like, this is.
And Lynor's. If Corlys didn't know his son was gay, he definitely knows he's gay now because he was all like, yeah!
Just like, dude, you didn't do a good job hiding yourself at all there, you know what I mean? And crying.
I think Corlys did, though. I think
Corlys did in a way.
Because he kind of looked at him when they were doing that whole stare down. He, like, talked to Prince, like, Renee, and he's like, oh, you see that dude? That's his buddy, his special little buddy, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's definitely a sense of, like, an open secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny, too. It's like, who's going to challenge a dragon rider on his secrets like that? Who's going to be like, you're totally gay. He's going to light your ass on fire.
Yeah.
Sea smoke don't care.
that is true, Rob. What are you going to say about a guy who rides a dragon? You're going to be saying nothing.
Right. But, God, you know, I would honestly call it, like, it's called We Like the Way, but honestly, I think it should be called, as Luke kind of, like, really straightened it out for us, it should be called Viserys Disrespect. Like, seriously. It should be called Viserys Bane.
Everybody hates Vis.
Everybody hates Vis. Yeah, everybody hates Vis. That's what the episode should have been. That's what this episode would be called. Episode 4. Everybody hates Vis.
For me, it is funny that, like, because we don't know which episode it's going to be when he dies. Is this a 10 episode or is it like a 16 episode season?
It's a 10, I believe.
10? Okay. So, yeah, obviously, like, the heavy stuff's probably not going to be till, like, next season or a couple seasons down. So he might die at the end of the season.
I think that's where it's going to be, too. And that's when the war is going to start. And I even told Steve in the last episode, we might not get to the war until next year.
Probably won't get to the war. I suspect, like, my theory, because they said that, like, this is a 1 to 4 planned.
5, yeah, seasons.
I suspect that they also do what they were rumored that they want to do, like, anthology style. If it keeps being popular, they'll probably, like, they'll just jump to another era. If they like it, so I would suspect the last 3 seasons are all just going to be the Dance of the Dragons. But for me, what's interesting is that I have a feeling, because at least this is what it seems like, because we know that Viserys is just going to, like, he's just going to die. He's, like, nothing. He's just going to die because he's sick.
I'm surprised he hasn't chopped his arm off. I mean, yeah. I'm surprised nobody's been like, you know, bro, problem is that arm's got to go.
Your arm is literally like a slug. Let's just cut it off.
It's already, but it's funny to think that, like, you know, he's just going to die of old, like, nothing that's happening now, it's all happening to the other people. Like Viserys is never going to get a reckoning for how kind of ineffectual he's been this whole goddamn time.
He even says that. He says that to Lionel Strong. He's like, will I be... He's like, you know, I didn't really do anything. I can't say I've been a king in battle. He's like, I've never been tested.
Yeah.
He's so that's what he says. He's like, I've never been tested.
Yeah, and he's gonna die. He's gonna die like nothing. Again, as far as I can tell, he's just kind of been there.
That's how it is in the book too. He's always been kind of a tourney king. Like I think they had like 3 tourneys during his reign or something like that. Like that's where Daemon comes back during one of them. But he's known as that kind of king. I mean, he never really did nothing. I mean, he was kind of a guy who just kind of carried Jaehaerys like legacy, as they keep saying in the show. Like, you know, he's kept the peace. That's basically it. But Sir Otto is a little bit more insightful than I gave him credit for. He knows, like, you know, like you were saying, Luke, he knows there's going to be war once Rhaenyra, regardless of even if it was Alicent being on his, there will be war once she comes to power.
I love how he was saying that to her as he's leaving. He's like got one foot up on the horse, yelling at his daughter, because she's like, you know, why are you leaving? He's just like, because you're going to die or bend your knee.
Yeah.
You're going to choose, I'm leaving. Later. Also put my grandson on the throne, like that's
it's funny too, and spoilers our audience, just because, you know, we like to give them, we like to tell you what's going on in the book as well as with the show. Sir Otto will be Hand of the King again for a very short time, because once Aegon does ascend, he does make Sir Otto his hand, and then of course, you know. So that's going to be all our Real Sharks coming to you live from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, talking to you about that game that matters, the Game of Thrones. Make sure to listen, like, and subscribe, and check out our shop for our Game of Thrones tees and help support the show. This is Rob with his two noble knights, Luke and Steve, saying we will catch you on the flip side.